Amen. Yes, Lord, we do give this time to you. Amen. We love your word. Amen. Oh, thank you for the scriptures. Amen. Oh, thank you for the endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures. Amen. Strengthen us all today. Amen. By your living word. Amen. We trust you. Amen. We love you. Amen. We're hungry for you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Saints, on March 9th of this year, we had a special time of fellowship with Brother Paul Wu from Taiwan and Brother Andrew Yu from Anaheim. And in that fellowship, Brother Andrew spoke some things that I would say ignited, or I would maybe a better word is reignited something within my being. He spoke concerning the matter of the age of intensification. And he reminded us of this portion of ministry, that the New Testament, you could say, has three stages, showing the full ministry of Christ. The first stage is in the Gospels. And there we see the age of, or the stage of incarnation. Stage of incarnation. Through the Acts and the Epistles, we see the stage of inclusion. And in Revelation, in the book of Revelation, we have the stage of intensification. And why do we say this? In Revelation 1, there is a kind of a scene there. And we know that Revelation is a book of signs, that is symbols that have some spiritual significance that we can learn from. I think we all learned when we were children that a picture is worth 1,000 words. So we have pictures in the book of Revelation. And what do we have there? Well, of course, John is on the island of Patmos, actually in exile. But he's there in spirit on the Lord's day. And he hears a voice speaking to him. And when he turns to see the voice, what does he see? He sees seven golden lampstands. Seven golden lampstands. His first view is the lampstands. And then within or amidst the lampstands, there's one. There's one. Who's like the Son of Man. He's the Son of Man. Now, who is this? Of course, this is our beloved Christ. This is Jesus. And this is the Jesus whom John knew. Of course, John was the one who knew him so well, he even laid on his bosom, even on the night that he was betrayed there. He was there so tenderly, and so in such a precious setting. But I doubt that in Revelation 1, John wanted to be on the Lord's bosom. Because this Jesus, he's the same. But something about him is intensified. Something about him is intensified there. And there's the description about his eyes, about his feet, about so many things about him. It's the same Christ, but different stage now. And even earlier in the chapter, it mentions the Trinity, the triune God. But how does it mention the triune God? When it comes to the matter of the Spirit, he is called the Seven Spirits. The seven spirits. Now, of course, this is the same spirit. But why here in the book of Revelation is he entitled the seven spirits? Here we see intensification sevenfold. And why? Why do we need the sevenfold intensification? And that's because on the way as Christ was accomplishing God's economy, and he brought forth the church in the stage of inclusion, almost right away, things came in to degrade the church. things came in. Germs came in. Actually, we can see this probably the first time is in Acts 5. In Acts 5, they were enjoying such a wonderful church life, having all things in common, breaking bread from house to house, and some germs came in. I'm referring to the story of Ananias and Sapphira. I think we're probably familiar with that story. They wanted to seem before others more absolute than they actually were. They wanted to give the impression that they had more grace than they actually had. But from here, there's a kind of downward spiral, and so many things came in into the church life, into the churches at that time, even different heresies and philosophies, and so many terrible things. And when we read Revelation chapters 2 and 3, we can see so many things listed there. Church after church, so many things listed there. And then there's a call, right, for overcomers. In the midst of that, or from the midst of that, there's a call for overcomers. And so you could say this way, why was there the need for intensification? Why? Because the darkness of the age was also being intensified. And even saints, for these past 2,000 years till today, I think we could easily see the age has just gotten darker and darker and darker. And we shouldn't be surprised as we get closer to the end that the age will become even darker in morality, in ethics, all around us. We have to be on guard. So what is the counter against this? Well, the age gets darker. The church must shine brighter. The church must be stronger. The church must be stronger. And so these seven spirits that are referred to in Revelation 1, we see from other portions that they are actually the seven lamps. They are the seven lamps. The seven spirits are the seven lamps. But where are the seven lamps? The seven lamps are on the lampstand. So each local church, or I would say first, each lampstand in this picture in Revelation 1, each of the seven lampstands has the seven spirits. Each lampstand, which is each local church, each lampstand is intensified.
Wow.
Each lampstand has the burning of the seven spirits. Why? For intensification in the dark age. And dear saints, we need this reality as we get closer to the end. You know, we have a hymn that we sing most often in our prayer meeting. But if I'm not mistaken, written by Brother Nee. And there's one line that says, "'Tis harder at the end." "'Tis harder at the end." As the day draws nearer. As the day draws nearer. We are in the night. This also we saw in these verses, not only from Revelation 1, but in Romans 13. In Romans 13, it says, we are in the nighttime. We are in the nighttime. We're expecting the day. Oh, I so much enjoyed. Didn't you enjoy just now at the Lord's table? That we have a song of anticipation. That line in that hymn, is it 181? Just jumped up. I think many of us enjoyed. We have a song, we're singing in blessed anticipation. Yes, we enjoy the church life here, but we're anticipating. What are we anticipating? That the darkness will be over and the new age will dawn. That the Lord will come as the Son of Righteousness. The Lord will come, right? The Lord will come. But right now, brothers and sisters, we're in an age of darkness. We're in an age of darkness. Therefore, there is the need of intensified shining. The lampstand must shine in an intensified way. Well, you know, it's the same Christ in Revelation 1, but he is intensified. There's something about him, the way he is. It's the same spirit, but the spirit is intensified to shine brighter, to burn. Well, I believe you could say it's also the same church. Same church. But the church must be intensified. You know, Romans, the book of Romans, gives us a kind of a sketch of the proper normal Christian life and the proper church life. The normal Christian life and the normal church life. But saints, as the day gets darker, as we get closer to the end, we need the normal church life, but intensified. What do I mean by that? In these chapters that we've been enjoying in these few weeks, Romans 12, now through 15, all the things are here for a normal church life. So many elements, so many points that have been touched by us in these weeks, and the saints have enjoyed. Saints, we need all of these points to have a normal church life. Leading up to this point that we're touching today, actually, this has been for a few weeks now, the receiving of one another. Even this must be intensified. But where does this portion begin? You know, this section of Romans, you could say is from Romans 12:1 until this portion today, Romans 15:13. And what do we see in this portion? Actually, from the beginning in 12, it all begins with consecration. Saints, we need consecration. To have a normal church life, we all need a fresh consecration. But I would say, in this age, we need an intensified consecration. Because there are more factors around us, wherever we are. Whether it's in our job place, whether it's in our neighborhood, even on the subway, and surely through the media, there are so many factors that are trying to come in to what? Lessen our consecration, to weaken our consecration. And we have to be on guard. And this consecration, even this intensified consecration, must involve our entire being. Our body first, and our soul, and our spirit. And I think many saints pointed out, and we enjoyed, to have a proper consecration, first we need to present our bodies. We need to present our bodies. And in the dark age, dear saints, we first need to preserve our bodies. We need to have a sanctification that touches our spirit and our soul and our body. Amen. And again, as the age gets darker, we need a more intensified consecration in our spirit and our soul and our body. But then in chapter 12, many other things are also mentioned. The matters of what? Hospitality. The matters of taking care of the needs of the saints. Saints, I hope all of these matters could be intensified in the church life. You know, yesterday there was the blending among the Chinese-speaking saints. I heard that this was one of the burdens that was at least supposed to be touched, the matter of pursuing hospitality. Pursuing hospitality. Not just saying yes when the phone call comes, but pursuing hospitality. I believe that's hospitality intensified. We need to be intensified in every aspect. Then, in chapter 13, there's the matter of being subject to the authorities. Where does this fit? You know, saints, in the midst of the darkness, we all must have a testimony of righteousness. We all must be right with all the authorities. This is a strong testimony. The church as a whole, you know, we always, in the way of handling even the finances and the reporting, in all of this, we exercise to be so right before the earthly authorities. And this is personally and corporately. We all must, what? actually follow the conscience. Follow the conscience. On one hand, it's respecting the authority. On the other hand, actually, we are following an inner ruling. An inner ruling. And actually, this leads, in Romans 14, to the kingdom life. So in the midst of this earthly realm, we are living in another kingdom. We're in another kingdom. And saints, even this must be intensified in the last days. As it gets darker, there is more unrighteousness around us. And it's very easy for the way people handle their things to just influence us. So we have to be on guard. We have to be on guard. Then in chapter 13, it talks about love, loving one another. And I'll come back to this point when we touch Romans 15. And then it talks about waging warfare at the end of 13. Waging warfare. Dear saints, to have the normal church life, we have to realize that we're having the normal church life in a time of war. In a time of war. There is a battle going on around us. Actually, around each of us every day. There is a warfare. And we need to, what? We need to be so alert and awake and not drugged by the age so that we can put on the weapons of light. And in this way, the church's testimony can be maintained. A testimony of brightness, a testimony of shining. Then we come to the point on receiving the believers. And this is from actually 14:1 until today's portion through 15:13. In chapter 14, it talks about the judgment seat. The judgment seat. Saints, how we need to live our lives in the light of the judgment seat. The day is approaching. The day is surely approaching. So, we need to have our living, every aspect of our living, in the light of the judgment seat of Christ. We're looking to that day. We're looking to that day. Okay, now I'd like to come to this point on the receiving the believers according to Christ. And just pass on a couple of things that the Lord really enlightened me and spoke to me concerning this week. And the first thing is actually this word receiving. You know, we're talking a lot, even the titles of the morning revival sheets and so on are receiving the believers. But I learned something this week. You know, the word receive is actually quite a common word. It's a common word and used in the Bible a lot. But really, thank the Lord for His sovereignty to have the New Testament written in the Greek language. It's really sovereign because the Greek language is so expressive. It's so expressive. You know, the word receive, or the most common word receive, is this word. Sorry. Something like this. Lambano? Yeah. Lambano. Okay. And this word is itself a very strong word. And this is used, if I'm not mistaken, 261 times in the New Testament. Receive. And this word, I'd like to read the definition to you. This is to lay hold of with initiative. Aggressively received with strong personal interest. So, receive. It's aggressively received with strong personal interest. This is the word receive, right? This is the same word in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, where it says, that I may lay hold of Christ, the one whom I was laid hold by. I want to lay hold, right? That's a strong word. That's a strong word. Maybe Brother Frank, can you help me? Yeah, thanks, Frank. Yeah. So we're talking about receiving. Well, let me backtrack a little. In Philippians 3, what feeling do you get when you hear the word lay hold of Christ? Paul says, I haven't laid hold yet. I haven't laid hold. Yeah. Don't you get the feeling? Lay hold. Mm-hmm. Lay hold. Lay hold. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to gain Christ. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But receive the believers. The word receive, which is, it's the same word in this set. Receive the believers. I get a different feeling. Don't you? It's like, oh, hi. I receive you. Oh, okay, yeah. You come in. So I receive him. So isn't whether he's just a brother, whether he might be a new one that comes to our meeting for the first time, right? Oh, hi. Or maybe it's someone who hasn't come to the meeting for a long time. Then I see him. Hi. So I receive him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, this word means I
lay hold of him.
Mm-hmm. I lay hold of him. Okay. But that's not the word in Romans 14 and 15. That word is what? Yeah, stay here, sorry. That word has a prefix. Pros. To a two-part word. And I want to read you this. Sorry, Frank. Mm-hmm. I need you for just another minute. Yeah. Yeah. And that word in one of the Greek dictionary, it says this word means towards, you know, it's toward, motion toward, in interactively with. And then the dictionary says that this word, this prefix, intensifies this word. Oh, the Lord had put this word intensify in my heart. And then I read this. Oh, this intensifies. So this is not just lay hold. It's lay hold. That's receiving. That's this receiving. Because, and this is according to Christ. Amen. This is how Christ has received us. This is how Christ has received all the believers. Christ didn't just hi. On the cross, actually. Christ. Yeah. Thank you. You know, you can see this from Luke chapter 15. In Luke 15, we have the parable, right, of the father with the two sons. And one son is, of course, goes off. And and every day it seems he's looking. Because when he was yet afar, he saw him. If the father were not looking, how could he see him from afar? So the father was there looking and saw him from afar and ran to meet him. And then it says he fell on his neck and kissed him. I should have done this with Frank. And fell on his neck. This is how God receives the believers. This is how I have been received by God. This is how you've been received by God. I could tell you, I remember the night. I was only a little boy. I've mentioned this several times. I was only seven. You know, next month, well, we're at end of June. In three weeks, it'll be exactly 50 years to the day that I was received by the Father. And you know, the story that my sister used to preach the gospel to me was actually Luke 15. Not this third parable about the sons, but the first parable about the sheep, about the man that had 100 sheep and lost one. And then when he left the 99, and in another place it says in a mountain, so they were safe. And then he went after the one, and when he found it, he didn't scold it. He didn't take the staff and, "Bad sheep, you caused me much anxiety." What did he do? He put it on his shoulders. He put it on his shoulders and brought it home, and then had a celebration, a rejoicing. And I experienced that night as a little boy. I still remember when my sister said, "Do you know who the lost sheep is?" I said, "No." She says, "You." I said, "I am?" I didn't know, but my heart was filled with the love of the Lord. Saints, not only in salvation, in our shepherding, we should have the heart of the Father. When one comes to us who hasn't been with us for some time, or when we go out to see the ones that haven't been with us for some time, what is our attitude? We have to receive according to Christ. Receive. That's receive in an intensified way. In an intensified way. Amen. You know, in the rest of this chapter, let's go back to Romans 15. Not the rest of the chapter. The rest of this portion. It speaks of this matter of the endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures. Then it talks about the God of endurance and encouragement. And I would say that in order to have such a heart for others, in order to have such a heart that can receive according to God and according to Christ, we must have the supply of the Scripture. We must have the supply of the Word. You know, because naturally we do not have such love for one another. Naturally, we do not have the same care for one another. You know, in different places, Paul says, especially in 1 Corinthians, have the same care, the same love toward one another, the same love. And with the natural man, that's not so easy, because we have our preferences, and that is something that we have to be saved from in our soul. You know, we've been talking very much that all of this is in the section on transformation, which is the salvation of our soul. One thing that we have to be saved from is our preferences toward ones as opposed to others, that we could have the same love. We can have the same love. Saints, to have the church life that is really the reality of Philadelphia, that is the reality of the church of the brotherly love, we need this. We need this. And we need this in the age of intensification. We need the endurance, and we need the encouragement of the Scriptures. And as we come to the Word supplies us. And actually, what we enjoy, or who we enjoy, is the God of endurance and the God of encouragement. And eventually, he becomes the God of hope. He's the God of hope. You know, it's important to have hope. It's important to have hope. But he is the God of endurance, the God of encouragement, and the God of hope. How can we enjoy him in this way? It's through the Scriptures. Through the Scriptures. By our enjoyment of the Word, we are supplied. We are supplied. We're supplied with endurance. We're supplied with endurance. Eventually, that endurance will become the expression, not of toleration, but the expression of love. You know, receiving the believers doesn't mean tolerate one another. Receiving the believers is actually loving one another according to Christ. According to Christ. The only way, saints, is by the supply of the living word. The living word. And the Lord's heart is so broad. Then in the last few verses in this section, it talks about how he's the servant. He's the servant to what? Both the Jews and the Gentiles. He's the servant. Eventually, he's the one, according to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3. He brings the whole body together. Because, it says, the Gentiles in Ephesians 3, 6 are fellow heirs, right? And fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the grace. So he's the one who brings, he can bring two people so far apart together. He can bring people so far apart into one body. We can't do that. We can't do that. It's difficult for us just to live with one other person. We need the grace. We need the endurance. We need the endurance. And we need the encouragement. And eventually, he becomes our hope. You know, saints, when we have this kind of living relationship with the Word, we are filled with hope for ourselves and for the saints and for the church. You know, I want to come back to this point. We have quite a number that are not with us so regularly. They're not with us so regularly. I hope we always have a heart like the shepherd to go and reach them, to go and receive them according to Christ. But how can this be? We need the God of endurance, because sometimes when you're shepherding such ones, right, it takes a while. It takes a while. And the heart of endurance really ministers to some. Because maybe for years, you never gave up on them. You never gave up on them. Because eventually, at first, it's the God of endurance, but eventually, he's the God of hope. And when you have hope, you will not give up on anyone. Yeah. Because he is the God of hope. And he's the hope within them. So thank the Lord for this rich supply that we have. The God of endurance, the God of encouragement, and the God of hope. So that we can receive one another and shepherd one another. Amen. Okay, I'll stop here. I think we have some announcements. And then you can have your sharing. Amen.
First of all, and foremost, we would like to acknowledge those who are here for the first time. And so we would like you to stand up.